Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him. Yeah, no.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Well, you're welcome along. Joe Malloy with you this evening. So another weekend where it's hard to keep track of things. We're talking two screens minimum at all times, I think. So we'll have Shane McGrath on the weekend's hurling that is coming your way. Ronan O'Gara on Friday's win over Wales and Twickenham weekend to come. Katie Taylor was dominant at Wembley, I'm sure you saw. Fight possibly should have been stopped and wasn't. Ronan Mullen on that fight and how 2021 is shaping up for Katie. Tom English of BBC Scotland will join us as well. We're not at the Euros. They are over in Scotland. The resurrection of Steve Clarke and Scottish football to be explained. 53106 is the text number. We're at Off the Ball. You are very welcome. It's nice to have the word vaccine being talked about so much on news headlines at the moment. I have to say, it's feeling a touch less grimmer, as grim as it absolutely still is, I accept, for so many people out there. But it's been good. More good news today. Richie McCormack, good evening.
Bringing it from the good news to the bad, Joe. How are you?
Absolutely. Adrian Barry, hello.
Could they find a cure? Would that be better?
Jesus.
It would be better, yes. Yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah.
Any ideas?
Give me like about 6 or 8 months. Is that the lead-in time for one of these things?
For you, I'd say.
You're knocking up in your kitchen.
You know.
That's true.
6 to 8 lifetimes, maybe, Adrian. So, I mean, we're chock full this evening. We won't have time for any Masters talk later on. Paul McGinley, we may get to tomorrow. Yeah, it's controversial.
I'd say that was the second major happened.
Yeah, that's a fraud production meeting right there, was it?
Could you imagine my tantrum when that one was decided?
I absolutely can.
The chair was flipped.
I'm kind of worried about whatever's left in the office today.
Yeah. Padraig Harrington, if you're looking for your golfing fix, he was on OTBAM with Jer and Nathan this morning. So that is there for you on our social channels, on our OTB Sports app, which as ever is in your app store. But we'll talk to Paul McGinley tomorrow. Try and make sense of Rory McIlroy. Just what the hell is going on? 75 in the first round. Nobody else in the top 50 had a 75, bar one other player. And McIlroy still somehow finishes fourth. So there is definitely an issue there, and it feels more psychological than anything, you would have to say. It's a bit of a trend when you think of things like Portrush. Anyway, that is for tomorrow. Weekend's football, GAA also probably we won't get around to this evening in any great depth. The hurling people won out, so Shane McGrath is coming your way at 7:30. Adrian Barry, what tickled your fancy the most over the weekend? Set the agenda for us.
God, there was so much. Is it harsh to say that the weekend didn't quite deliver on the promise?
No.
Is that a bit harsh?
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. With a few notable exceptions, I think Richie Hogan delivered. But a few notable exceptions aside, yes,
Meade,
I think
delivered.
You're right. I think, who else? Meade?
Meade. Damn right, baby.
Oh my God. I can't even think about that
this,
right now.
Like, Meade and Kildare, I mean, two bald men fighting over a comb is the expression that comes to mind here. Like,
that's hate speech.
I mean, is there ever a more pointless conversation?
Because of what awaits in the Leinster final.
Yeah, like, and also because they're both...
Annie Westmead,
that's what. You could lob them in, no problem with that. To be fair, at least me, they're going somewhere.
Turn to them.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't like the look of what Jack O'Connor's doing at Kildare, clearly.
I find it hard to muster any enthusiasm about Kildare football over the last number of years, if I'm being honest with you. This is not I appreciate who I'm speaking to here, and that was not my intention just starting out, I can assure you. But
no, it's fine.
Yeah, but look, I don't want to be negative Nelly here on this Monday evening.
I gave you a blank slate. I said pick one thing from the weekend, and we're talking about Kildare football. Like, why are we doing that?
the two things that really stood out for me, Katie, obviously, on what night was it? Was it Saturday night? I thought that was brilliant. And
sorry, that was not brilliant. That was not brilliant. That was...
Let me finish, Joe.
Go on.
There was a
good, rounded
conversation about this if one is looking for it
okay.
on the Sunday newspaper review yesterday. So I'm open and understanding that everything exists. But like, I think that it was also painted. Look at, you see stuff on Twitter or whatever. There's no point reading a huge amount into that necessarily. But it was also painted like that. We shouldn't celebrate what Katie is doing, or you know, that Gutierrez afterwards was like fangirling and blah 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 blah. But like, you know, I don't really like Katie Taylor is such an icon for us and for the trail that she's blazed in women's boxing. Like Shane Lowry, and don't judge the man at all for this, is tweeting photographs today of himself and Tiger out in the course doing the exact same thing. It's like unbelievable. I got to play around a couple of rounds of golf with this guy. How incredible was that? And I'm sure it's the same from Gutierrez's point of view. And yeah, there was a golf and difference, of course there was, but she was the mandatory fighter. And that's like, women's professional boxing is still finding its feet and still establishing itself. So there are factors in there to give it a break, would be my view on it.
Oh, yeah, no, I would totally agree with all that, but you started off by saying it was brilliant. I mean, we had a mandatory challenger.
The fight was completely
outclassed from, you know, the first 10 seconds. And you had Matthew Macklin saying from about the fourth round, if not even earlier, this fight's done. Like, why is she being left to just take these shots from a corner who stood idly by? The referee I give a bit more of a pass to, because you have to give her a fighter's chance, and she wasn't totally gone. But like, that was made for kind of uncomfortable viewing for the following six rounds, just watching Gutierrez having the head bashed off her.
I don't know about that, Joe. Like, those things happen. Gatti Ward, like, look at two fighters, two unbelievable fighters. Like, if you watch back any of those fights, and there are times in those fights where you're going, call this off now.
I'm not sure we're comparing like here. I mean, this fight was so one-sided. I mean, it was never going to go any other way. Like, that's where both are in the fight to some extent or other. This was just like complete mismatch, and we're going to allow her take punishment for what exactly? I mean, I think it's more of a question for her corner than the referee. But you know, I'm just in the interest of rounded. Katie Taylor, obviously, like phenomenal.
And that's where I'm coming from. I'm not clearly for a second saying that the fight itself was phenomenal. It's
sure.
The phenomenal achievements of Katie Taylor, on and on and on she goes. And like, yes, there was a golfing class. 100% agree with that. Like, anybody who watched the fight, I wouldn't clearly have the same sort of in-depth that I'm sure Ronan is going to bring later on. But anybody who watched the fight would have known that. But no, just what she continues to achieve is just, it's phenomenal and incredible. And even listening to Eddie Hearn afterwards about the conversations they're having, she's not ducking any fights. She's saying, bring them on, whatever's out there. And that's great to see. So there was that. And the Mayo Galway game was the other thing that stood out for me.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot going on, wasn't there? And I don't know how Mayo weren't like 10 or 15 points up at halftime. Galway were that bad. I know they were playing into a bit of a breeze, but they were that terrible. And then I don't know how Galway didn't eke it out at the end of it all. And I don't know quite how Owen McLaughlin didn't get a red card at the end. Like, the cop out of a black card is a blight on the game. Like, it's a red card. Like, he's bearing down a goal. He's not.
There's only one intention there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, a black card is such an easy cop out. And like, would it have been a goal? Sure, who knows. But sideline balls for Galway didn't do them much favors over the weekend. When you look at Joe's cut that got intercepted, and Richie Hogan sticks in the back of the net not long after. And then that Shane Walsh sideline ball that the referee ends up making him retake, and then they end up making the balls of it. But yeah, that was tight. It was good. I don't know. What do you think? Are Mayo going? Are Mayo, like, I mean, it's hard to see that they won't get to an All-Ireland final at this stage, but are they going to get it done?
No, I don't think so.
No, they're not good enough.
Don't think so. I think it's too soon against Dublin. Donegal against Dublin, though, is looking very tasty.
Yeah, yeah. That's a semi-final, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be their final, Joe. That's what they'll say.
Yeah. I mean, it would be just like Mayo this year of all years, with zero hype, zero fans to, you know, pull it off in the most exceptional of circumstances. But it doesn't look too likely. Maybe it's hard to judge them on these heavier pitches, and they have to get the Croke Park, and, you know, they'll improve with each game because there's a new batch in there. But you're still talking about Dublin here. Ultimately, it doesn't make Mayo a bad team by any means. You're still talking about Dublin. For me, it was Richie Hogan. Richie Hogan was
class.
Just, you know, and Walter Walsh and Fenley are trooping off. You know, Dahi Burke's been immense. They've dealt with the aerial bombardment. Braun has struggled. And so they bring on guile and movement and wrists. And as for his goal, I mean, it's just, I needed two replays. What have you done there? Give me again. Okay, amazing. And all at lightning speed. So considering how his last high-profile game at Croke Park had ended, i.e. a red card, 13, 14 months on, to do that was just amazing. So I was really personally just kind of delighted for him. And I was looking at Cody thinking, you know, you are just a force of nature. This is scary stuff. Obviously, he had an exceptional group. But what he's done against Limerick last year and then even against Galway at the weekend, who on paper are better than Kilkenny, I think. Maybe that's debatable, but I think they are. And he's just there with his black and amber mask on. And, you know, just this is just nuts stuff, you know. He is a phenomenon.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think they're on paper because there's a fair few new players into that Kilkenny lineup. I think it's fair enough to say that Galway were the better team on paper. The mask was probably the most Brian Cody wearing a like branded an on-brand mask might have been the most surprising thing of the weekend.
I was sure he'd be surgical, one use and throw away all day long. Couldn't believe Cody had such a flash mask. Unbelievable.
Flash.
Richie McCormack, what was your weekend highlight? Aside from the golf, obviously.
To be honest with you, like, I know you've poo-pooed it and all that, but it's the element of hope that these championships now bring counties like Meath. As much as Adrian says it's two bald men fighting over a comb, which I stand by being hate speech, especially given my circumstances. But like seeing them score 12 goals over the course of two games and arrive into a Leinster final against a Dublin team who struggled early on against Laois, yeah, but they, you know, put the hammer down and eventually put them away fairly handily. But it's still that little glimmer of, yeah, but what if? What if today it doesn't suit the favourites? What if there is, you know, a turn of fortune and a glut of goals that comes Meade's way the way it happened yesterday in the second half of Croke Park? Like, it is that element of hope. And then on the other side of that, there is the realism and the, I guess, the truism of life that some things, sometimes, things are just shit. And that's true of the Ireland football team, that no matter how you try and no matter what set of circumstances you try and concoct for yourself, things just aren't going to work out. And without wanting to be too pessimistic about it, I've become kind of sanguine about it, where you kind of think that, you know, yeah, maybe this is just it. And when it does pick up, it's going to be great. And especially when you look on at the Scots and you see the depths that they've been down to over the last 3-4 years, that, listen, if they can turn around, you know, there's every chance that we can. And to be missing, what now, 13 players going into this game of Bulgaria kind of says it all. But yeah, I'm not, you know, beating the drum saying that things are brilliant. I'm not beating the drum saying Stephen Kenny should be, you know, dug out of the job. I'm just saying that I think we have to have some level of acceptance of where things are at some stages watching sport.
I just hope it doesn't take 22 years like the Scots, because then from 2016 on, we're waiting until 2038 to qualify for our next tournament. Con Barry will be up front for Ireland then. Probably retired by then. when is the last time Ireland went this long without scoring? I'm not sure exactly. I think it's 25, 35 years. It's the 80s, yeah. I think, isn't it?
We've gone back into the latter days of the Owen Hand era, I think.
Yeah. How long do we have to wait before we're allowed to question the job Kenny is doing? Mary says, the more McIlroy tries to win the Masters, the harder it's going to be. And Des says, Rory can't get over the line and the footballers can't get the ball in the net. Maybe we're just not a nation of sporting assassins. Name the last Irish athlete who could be nailed on to deliver on the big stage. A lad from Cove comes to mind. Or even the boy Brian O'Driscoll, I guess Robbie Keane.
Or a lass from Bray.
Robbie Keane, yeah.
Robbie Keane would come in quite handy now. So let's start off the news round then. It is, as ever, with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette made of what matters. Adrian Barry alongside myself. Richie McCormack, take it away.
Yeah, the Republic of Ireland squad's appalling record with COVID-19 continued today. Matt Doherty and James McLean, the latest players to contract the virus, and they will miss Wednesday's Nations League game with Bulgaria as a result. The rest of the squad have tested negative upon their return from Wales, and there are no close contacts of the infected duo. However, Adam Ida was another withdrawal from the Norwich striker returning to his club injured. Promoted from the under-21s are Troy Parrott and the Peterborough midfielder Jack Taylor, and joining them, the Shamrock Rovers duo of Graham Burke and first-time call-up Aaron McInniff.
It does seem to fairly rip through our squad when we get it, Adrian, in a way that doesn't seem to be happening with Premier League teams.
Yeah, and how much of that then is down to bad luck or bad planning?
Don't know. And that's we genuinely don't know. But it's very notable that when one gets it, it's not just one.
Other international teams don't have this either. Like, I'm struggling to look around. Norway have had a couple.
Okay.
Christopher Eyer and Eldi Nussi, I think, have picked up something. But like, to the same degree, there's nothing comparable
really
to what we've had over the last 2 months. Like, there's absolutely nothing comparable to the last 2 months we've had on the international stage. And I don't know if they're going around the hotels licking the doorknobs or what, but there's something needs addressing with it, because, like, whatever about the variables of this virus and the fact that, you know, you're kind of at its mercy rather than anything else, you have to be able to not be in a situation whereby you're missing eight players, you know, six of whom, whatever, are close contacts for a Wales game, and now you're going from game to game with Callum Robinson out of one and Matt Doherty and James McLean out of another. Something needs looking at there.
Yeah. So Matt Doherty, James McLean now out. That means they joined the list, which includes for Wednesday. And we have the commentary of the game, by the way, I should say. Jeff Hendrick, Jason Malumbi, Adam Eda, Seamus Coleman, Enda Stevens. These, by the way, are not all COVID. These are just out for various reasons. Hendrick suspended and different things. Enda Stevens, Aaron Connolly, Alan Brown, James McCarthy, Callum Robinson, John Egan, Harry Arter, Matt Doherty and James McLean today. We can't cope with that, Adrian. Like, if you're Stephen Kenny now and you really need a win for lots of reasons, be it pot two for the World Cup draw or just calming down a brewing sense of discord out there, then that is an unbelievable list to be without. I can't remember a time we were so injury ravaged, suspension ravaged, COVID ravaged.
It's desperate, and it's desperate for him, however it's come about. Absolutely desperate for him. Like, there is, I don't know if you find this, but a strange narrative around that if once a goal comes, that suddenly the floodgates are going to open, when I don't think that is going to happen at all. And I think that people desperate for that to happen, like, this is not getting fixed when those players come back. You know, the goal drought is not, we're not suddenly going to turn into a team that are going to be bashing in the goals left, right and centre. And people are talking about Aaron Connolly and Callum Robinson coming back in and that the edge that they're going to give us, and I'm sure they will, but the floodgates are not going to open until, I mean, I don't know what. Is it take Adam Eda to mature into a number nine who can create a hatful and score a hatful, or for Troy Parrott? Like, we're not talking anytime soon. And I'd be the same sort of boat as Richie in that I'm willing to be patient. Like, it might take 2 years and it might take 3 years, and there's a lot of flack going to get thrown around in the meantime. But I definitely am with the view that when one comes, the floodgate ain't opening, that, you know, this is going to be our lot for the next few years.
Yeah, I was reading today, we've scored in the last 3.5 years 20 goals. So it's really a post-Robbie Keane situation as opposed to a Stephen Kenny creation situation. At Pro 14, there's live rugby on the ceiling, Rich, Monday night.
Yeah, Ulster having a pretty handy night's work over in Italy. They're leading Zebre by 45 points to 14 at the minute. 7 tries for Ulster so far tonight, and 4 of them coming from their back row, Marcel Coetzee. Leinster, another side looking to preserve their 100% start tonight. They welcome Edinburgh to the RDS, where there's an 8:15 start. And in around about 25 minutes' time, Cardiff Blues take on Benetton in Newport. Ireland head coach Andy Farrell will have an interesting decision to make at out half for Saturday's game away to England. Jonathan Sexton has been ruled out due to a hamstring injury, while Billy Burns is following the return to play protocol. Calls. Farrell's hinted that he may experiment with scrum half Conor Murray in the number 10 role. Robbie Henshaw is also going to miss the game at Twickenham with an adductor strain, and having debuted off the bench and then taken a blow to the head, Burns is determined not to be a one cap wonder.
Obviously, I played age group with England, and then had a career at Gloucester, which I loved. I loved my time there. I always knew that I was qualified, obviously through my grandfather, and the opportunity came up to go to Ulster first and foremost, and it was just an opportunity that I couldn't turn down. I felt it was the best place for me to go and improve as a rugby player and push on and hopefully try and play professional international rugby. So yeah, it's strange, but all the decisions I've made to get to this point have sort of come to fruition, I guess, because I managed to get out there on the weekend. But like I said, I don't want to be a guy who plays once and then disappears and just goes away again. I want to try and stay in the team and try and stay in the squad, which is going to be unbelievably tough, but hopefully I can get it done. But going back to your question, yeah, it's been a strange old journey to get here, but again, one day I think I'll look back with an immense sense of pride.
James Lowe was good and Gibson Park was good. I saw Stephen Jones yesterday had like a little he's talking about, you know, another invited to be Irish type pitching up for Ireland in the paper. But in fairness, we've had our fair few project players of late. We'll talk to Ronan O'Gara after 8, not least about the Conor Murray thing at 10. I presume that's a hell of a risk to take, especially at Twickenham. Couldn't.
It's not going to happen.
Go on,
Adrian. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, Billy Burns is in front of the media today and he's following the return to play protocols. I don't think he's going to be suddenly ruled out come Wednesday when the team is named or tomorrow. And similarly, Ross Burns there. And you don't take a chance on. Like, people were commenting midway through that second half on Friday night that, oh, Conor Murray, do you know what? He could play out, you know, could play number 10. He's looking like he's got that way about him on the pitch, not just with his kicking ability. But you don't do that at Twickenham. No. That'd be just silly. You're asking for trouble then.
That's what he said.
Okay, perfect. Ideal, because time's against us. So Dustin Johnson, for far too long, was on one major, which beguiled all the talent he had. So he's added the Masters.
Yeah, he's got a snazzy new addition to his wardrobe today. He won his first Masters by 5 shots as he finished a record-breaking score of 20 under par at Augusta. Rory McIlroy in share 5th on 11 under to claim his second best finish at the tournament. A final round 73 saw Shane Lowry end the week on 4 under par with a tie for 25th. Patrick Harrington spoke to OTBM this morning. He said the lack of crowds is not the reason that we got a more composed Dustin Johnson this week.
I think of all the people, he's pretty good under pressure. I just think when we talk, he was such a good player maybe 10 years ago. He really wasn't. He drove the ball unbelievably well. He struck the ball. He hit it a long way. It was a great strike. But he wasn't a complete player. He was a poor putter and a poor wedge player. And he has really turned around his wedge play. Like, he is a superb wedge player. Like, chipper and wedge player. And he is putting better based on the fact that if you wedge it better, he just creates more chances. So he knows he's going to hold the next one if he misses this sort of thing. So he's putting a lot better. So he's just a much better player now than he was 5-6 years ago. He had the capability of getting himself in contention. He had the capability of winning tournaments. But, you know, when he was slightly out, like, yesterday, you know, he hit a lovely bunker shot in 7 just to get up and down at the right time. Things like that he mightn't have done 5 years ago or 6 years ago. Now he's just a better player.
Yeah, he sure is. He sure is. So we'll talk to Paul McGinley in a bit more depth about that tomorrow, because up until this point, Johnson had been 0 for 4 after 54 hole leads in majors, hadn't converted any of them, and had a few other really poor mishaps when he was in contention. And it was crazy, he only had one major. 2 is far more like it. Really, you feel like he's a guy who should get to 3-4 to, you know, back up the talent he has always had. And he's 36 years of age now, so he's, you know, potentially in a very good place. We have a golfing prize to give away every night this week, a chance for you to win a golfing break for 2 people at the wonderful Fota Island Resort in County Cork, which has hosted the Irish Open 3 times. Prize includes an overnight stay for 2 people in the resort's hotel, dinner in Fota restaurant, breakfast next morning, and a round of golf for 2 on one of Fota's 3 championship golf courses. On top of that, you'll have access to one of Ireland's most sophisticated golf facilities, the Fota Island Golf Academy, just a couple of minutes walk from the clubhouse. So, to be in with a chance of winning all of that, tell us, what was Tiger Woods' score on the 12th hole at Augusta in his final round yesterday on that par 3 12th? What did Woods walk away with? Text your name and answer to 53106 for 30 cents and we'll get back to you after the show. FotaIsland.ie is where you can check out all their offers as well. By the way, he walked off with a you-know-what. The most extraordinary thing about Woods is that he birdied 5 of the next 6 holes. Yeah. Even in our crappy weekly comp at the golf course, if you play, if you have a 10 in stroke play, your head's gone. You know, you want to walk in, you're fried. You do that in the final round at Augusta and your Woods, you know, you're out of the tournament, you've nothing left to prove. I think you're within your rights to stand on the 13th tee and just shake your head and say, man, this pain in the hole. 5 birdies in the next 6 is just ridiculous, Adrian.
Were you in tears last night?
Yes, but for what reason? I mean,
do you tell me?
Well, no. So in tears, why? Because of Woods?
Well, DJ.
Oh,
DJ's tears.
DJ's tears. Oh yeah. Jeez, DJ. I know. I didn't think he had those depths.
Neither did I.
He was doing an interview on the green with. Well, after Jim Nance spent 10 minutes trying to make him cry in the butler cabin and failing. I'd say Nance wasn't happy. I'd say he was flipping chairs as well. I'd say, what the hell? I softened him up for you.
Well, that's the way Nance can look at it. He's kind of opened the jar a little bit. He's left it for the other person to complete the opening of the pickles.
Doesn't matter.
It's not the Jim Nance way.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Amanda Balionis, I think is how you pronounce her name. She got the interview, and yeah, Johnson just couldn't talk. He didn't actually look like he was crying. His face didn't show any emotion, but actually,
maybe he just can't talk.
He couldn't get the words out. Couldn't get the words out. So yeah, no, that's two majors for him. That starts to his career looks a whole lot better now. Last story, Rich.
Yeah, Limerick's LIT Gaelic Grounds will host the heavyweight All Ireland hurling quarterfinal meeting of Tipperary and Galway. The draw made this morning. That game will have a 1:15 start this coming Saturday. On the same day, Clare will do battle with the beaten Munster finalist Waterford at Páirc Cuíve. And in the Croke Park has been confirmed as the venue for Sunday next Christy Ring and Nicky Rockhart Cup finals. Donegal are going to play Mayo in the Rockhart final from 1:30, and then at 4:00, Down will play Kildare in the Christy Ring decider.
Very good, Richie, thank you. Adrian Barry, your tash looking very tidy. Keep that going. Thank you as well. We're going to talk about the hurling to Shane McGrath next.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.